Brown. Suspenseful wait. Real quiet. All right. So, our speaker tonight, I already gave you that preview, the free preview, Fucci. Man, look at them already kicking in here. All right. You guys get Fucci tonight, so here you go.
Thanks. Okay. Who's ready for ice cream after I preach? Yes. I can't have ice cream, but I'm sure it's good. Okay, so the title of my sermon tonight is We Can't See Past Our Sea. And I'm going to start with Exodus 14, verses 1 through 4. And it says, the Lord gave these instructions to Moses. Order the Israelites to turn back and camp by Pi Hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea. Camp there along the shore, across from Baal Zephon. Then Pharaoh will think the Israelites are confused. They are trapped in the wilderness. And once again I will harden Pharaoh's heart. He will chase after you. I have planned this in order to display my glory through Pharaoh and his whole army. After this, the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. So the Israelites camped there as they were told. Okay, let me just start with prayer. And Lord God, just thank you that we could be here tonight to learn about you. Lord God, I just pray that you just show us who you are and how great and mighty you are, Lord God. Just use me tonight to speak into these kids' lives, Lord God. Thank you. Amen. And so, last week, Jeff talked about the Passover lamb, right? You guys remember that? And so, anyone who didn't have the blood of the lamb on their doorpost, their firstborn son would die. And after that, Pharaoh got mad. He's like, look, I don't want you guys here anymore. Go, leave. Take all your people, go into the wilderness, pray to your God, and just leave us alone. You're free. Get out of here, because I'm tired of what you're doing to us. So the Israelites took their stuff and they left Israel. And God, he could have just taken them straight through. He could have just taken them straight to Canaan, and it would have only taken 2 or 3 weeks. But he knew if he took them straight to Canaan, then they would have to fight the Philistines. And who remembers David and Goliath? Right? So Goliath was a Philistine, and he was a giant. And that's who a lot of the Philistines were. They were giants, and they were these great big men, and they were mighty warriors. And the Israelites, they had an army, but they didn't know how to fight. And so if God would have taken them straight through, they would have got slaughtered, and they would have been scared and frightened, and they would have run back to Egypt and become slaves again. So God didn't want to do that. So instead, he took them into the wilderness, and they started their journey. And so what he did was he took a pillar of clouds for the daytime, and he took a pillar of fire at night. And I think I have a picture of that. Is there? Oh, there's not one, just the fire. No, do the other one. Thanks. Sorry, I have it all messed up. But so he did this pillar of fire, right? And then, as they're going into the wilderness, he says, like I said in the verse, go back, camp at the Red Sea. Because I want the Egyptians to think that you're confused. I want them to think that you have no clue what you're doing. And then they're going to come at you and they're going to say, look, it's easy. We're going to get them. We're going to bring them back and make them slaves again. But, see, God, basically what he was doing, he was holding the Israelites over the Egyptians' head like bait. You know, like you do with a dog and you like have a treat and you like hold it over their head. That's what he was doing to the Egyptians. He wanted them to come after him so he could kill them, so he could slaughter them, so he could show them that he was the mighty God. Okay? And so, what God did, as you see in this picture, as the Israelites were trapped in between the Red Sea and the Egyptians as they came to get them, he put the pillar of fire that he was using to guide them into the wilderness in between them both. And who's ever had a campfire here? You guys had a campfire? Yeah. And you throw more wood on it, and you throw more stuff on it, you find some junk you throw on it, and it gets hot. And then you can't stand so close to it because you're going to burn the hair on your legs and your arms, and you'll just burn. You know, I've had campfires where you're just even sitting around them, just small ones, and you have to back up because it gets too hot. But this pillar was, like, huge. It went all the way into heaven. And so I don't think the Egyptians would get that close to it. But the Israelites saw the Egyptians coming, and they started freaking out. They're like, why are we here? We should have just stayed in Egypt. Let's go back to Egypt where it's easier. They started to poop their pants. They're so scared. Yeah, so what happened was that God's like, Moses, why are you waiting on me? Why are you crying? Because Moses started to cry out to God. He's like, God, what are we going to do? But God told Moses before this what he was going to do. And he said, Moses, look, raise up your staff that you have, the staff that he used to do all the miracles and bring the plagues on in Egypt, right? And he's like, look, use your staff and hold it up, and I will open the Red Sea. And I think I have a picture of that one. Yeah, and so the people walked through the Red Sea. And so he confused the Egyptians, and they had no clue what was going on, and they tried to go through the Red Sea. And he took their chariots, and he made them stuck in the mud so that they couldn't go anywhere. And then once they got across, he said, Moses, raise your staff again, and I'll close it on the Egyptians and slaughter them. And so that's what he did. And we all know this story, right? Everyone's went through Uptown. We've had this story. So it's just review. But the thing is, we all love adventure movies. Who here loves adventure movies? Why do you love adventure movies? Anyone? Why? Because there's twists and there's turns. You don't know what's going to happen. You're on the edge of your seat, waiting, not knowing. Like, sometimes I get so stressed out. If it's a movie that's on tape or something, I'll fast forward it to the end to see what's going to happen before either that or Wikipedia. Wikipedia tells you the ending of every movie, so if you want to go on there and look it up if you're scared. But see, we love movies because there's twists and turns in it, and they keep your interest, right? What if the movie wasn't like that? What if the movie was, so the guy woke up, he brushed his teeth, he went to work, he did 40 hours of paperwork, and then went home and went to bed. That would be boring. It would probably get like 1 point, if that, on an internet movie database. And everyone here knows what that is. But that's not why we like the movies. We like them because of the twists and the turns and the adventure. And so that's what God wants to give us in our life. Just like with the Israelites, they couldn't see what was going to happen. They couldn't see past the Red Sea or the Egyptians coming at them. They couldn't see how God was going to deliver them. And see, God wants to give us that kind of adventure because he wants to show us one thing. And this is what my sermon is about. He wants us to know that we have to trust him, because if we try and do it on our own, then it's pointless. And the only way we can do life is to trust him and to follow his will and to know that everything is for his glory, and that's what he wants to show us. See, God seems like an irrational God, but like there isn't any reason for the things he does. We're always like, a lot of times, I know in my life I am. It's like, God, why do you do that? Why am I going through this? There's no point to it, and I can't see why it would help me in life or why what would be the point of him doing it to me or letting me go through it, right? There's a lot of things. There's sickness. There's times maybe your parents have gotten divorced and you don't know why. There's things all the time that we go through in life that we have no clue why God would let us have these things come. But even though usually they don't make sense, there is a reason for every single thing that he does. And I can't answer the question of why, because I'm not God. But Corrie Ten Boom says this, never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. And so there's this game, I used to love it when I was a kid, called The Game of Life. Has anyone ever played that game here? Yeah. And so, do you have that picture? The Game of Life, thank you. Yes, that game. You get a little minivan, right? And you get your little stick person, and you put it in the minivan, and you drive along the road, and then you get your spouse. If you're a guy, you get the girl. If you're a girl, you get the guy. And then you drive along, and you get kids. And what's the point of the game? To what? to get a lot of money, to move into Millionaire Village or whatever it's called at the end. Because the person who wins the game is the one who gets the most money. And you get money for your kids and your wife and everything else. But that's the point of the game. And that's the way we see our own lives. We see that if we get the house, if we get the car, and I'm sure even though you guys aren't able to drive yet, you're thinking about what kind of car you would want. No? No one would be like, what kind of car you'd love to drive? But, you know, the perfect family, the perfect job, and then you become a millionaire, and that would be life, right? That would be great. But that's not the purpose of life. But, you know, the thing is we try and do things on our own. And when we try and do things on our own, God lets us fail. Because the only way to succeed at life is to do God's will and to follow his will for your life. So even though you may have a 5-year plan or a 10-year plan, you probably don't right now, but you might know what you want to do in life as far as career choice. Like, if you want to be a doctor or a nurse, policeman, I don't even know, going to the military. You may think you know that, but God may change what he wants you to do. And Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says this, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take." And see, that's the thing. We want God to be our daddy a lot of the times. We want him to protect us from anything or anyone that can hurt us, right? But how can God be your protector if there's nothing for you to be protected from? If he doesn't let you go through certain things and sometimes not be able to see the end of what you're going through, then how can he protect you? Because everything would be great. It would be like in the Garden of Eden, right? But because of sin, it can't be that way. And then, like I was talking about, that we have our plans. God calls us to do certain things sometimes, and a lot of times we refuse because it's hard, because it's scary to go through something that you don't know what's going to happen. Just like I said, I get stressed out at kinds of movies, and especially TV shows, where you invest all this time into a TV show, and like there's 5-6 seasons, and then the ending is stupid. Like the lead character dies, or something stupid happens. And then you're like, why did I spend that many years watching this show, right? But that's not the way life is going to be with God. Timothy Keller says this, God often gives us what we need as we do what he asks us to do. Nothing more, nothing less. And so I'm going to fast forward. We were in Exodus. I'm going to go to the New Testament with Peter. And so Peter had a lot of stuff that God let him go through. Okay, Peter had a chance to walk on water. In Matthew 14, 28 through 30 says this, Peter called to him, Lord, if it is really you, tell me to come to you, walking on the water. Yes, come, Jesus said. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water towards Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. Save me, Lord, he shouted. And so I have a picture of that. You can throw that up. And so here's Peter, and he's like wobbling on the water. And it's kind of like when a toddler starts to learn how to walk. Jesus is kind of like Peter's daddy. He's like, come on, Peter, you can do it. You can do it. Come on, come on. Right? But he couldn't do it because he didn't keep his eyes on Jesus. Instead, he saw the waves and he saw the strong wind and he got afraid and he fell. And the thing about Peter, though, is he gets bashed on a lot. You know, he always was making mistakes. You know, he went and told Jesus straight out. He's like, when Jesus is like, look, I'm not going to be around forever. And he hinted at that he was going to die on the cross. Peter's like, no, you're not. You're not going to do that. And then he told Jesus, well, then he cut off a guy's ear in the Garden of Gethsemane. Then he denied Jesus 3 times when Jesus was going to die on the cross, right? But the thing about Peter is, he's probably the one person in the Bible I can relate to the most. know, because I make mistakes. I do stupid things. I often put my foot in my mouth and say dumb things to God. I'm like, God, yeah, that's not going to happen. But yet God chose me. So it's like, then in Acts 12, 6 through 9, it says this. The night before Peter was to be placed on trial, he was asleep, fastened with two chains between two soldiers. Others stood guard at the prison gate. Suddenly there was a bright light in the cell, and an angel of the Lord stood before Peter. The angel struck him on the side to awaken him and said, "Quick, get up." And the chains fell off his wrists. Then the angel told him, "Get dressed and put on your sandals." And he did. "Now put on your coat and follow me," the angel ordered. So Peter left the cell, following the angel, but all the time he thought it was a vision. He didn't realize it was actually happening. See, Peter trusted God so much. Well, I have to start before this, because before this, James, the brother of John, they were two disciples, you guys know James and John. Well, King Herod killed James. He cut his head off. And so then he arrested Peter. And so this was the night before Peter was going to have the trial to see if he was going to die. And of course, it's the king, and he already killed James, so he was going to kill Peter. So Peter shouldn't have been sleeping. He shouldn't have been comfortable. He should have been stressed out, wondering what's going to happen tomorrow. But he knew that the person who was in control of everything was God, and he trusted him. So he went from not being able to trust Jesus on the water, trying to walk on the water, to being in prison, being ready to die, knowing that if he died, he'd go to heaven to be with God. But if not, if God had a plan to take him out of there, he would. And he was so fast asleep, he trusted God so much that he was so out of it that he thought the angel taking him out of the cell was a vision and was a dream. And see, that's the thing. Our lives are short. We only live, 80, 90 years? Maybe 100 if you're lucky. But the thing is, then you die. So there's not really that much point to this life. But at the end of our adventure that God gives us to teach us how to trust him, we get to go to happily ever after, like in good action movies. There's always that happily ever after, the happy part that you see. We were watching Finding Dory last night. And okay, I won't tell you the end. But of course, everything good happens, right? Everything comes out because you know it's going to happen like that. And the girls are freaking out, like, because we had some guys and girls over, me and Matt Mezzer, spending the month at Pastor Mike's. And we had some guys and girls over, and the girls are freaking out because they're like, what's going to happen? But of course, especially since it's a Pixar movie, it has a happy ending. But life is short, and at the end of it, we'll go to heaven, and that's our happy ending. But just like we can't succeed in life without God, we only get to go to heaven because of Jesus Christ, the one who came and lived a life that we couldn't live and died a death that we couldn't die. And the only way we can go to heaven is by knowing him and knowing him as our own personal savior. Because everything we are and will be is because of him, okay? And so the thing is, if you don't know Jesus as your personal savior, I'm not having an altar call tonight. What I want you to do is talk to your small group leader. And if you have issues in your life that you can't trust God with, okay, talk to your small group leader. We're having just a casual fun night of ice cream, so you'll have plenty of time to talk with your small group leader if there's something you need prayer for. So meet with them, because the whole point of having a small group leader is it's somebody who you can confide in. It's somebody who you can be accountable to. It's somebody who can help you along your journey, okay? So if you have an issue or if you don't know Jesus, then go and see them. Not next week because we have small group, but this week during our ice cream fun time, okay? So I'm going to close in prayer and then we'll have that ice cream, but Lord God, I just thank you that we could come to learn about you and learn about who you are. Lord God, I just thank you that your son Jesus died on the cross for our sins so that we could go to heaven to be with you. And God, I just pray, Lord God, even as these kids do life, Lord God, even as they grow up, Lord God, help them to trust you. Help them to learn that you're the only one who can help us through life. You're the only one who can help us through situations that we don't understand, that we don't even know why you let us go through them, God. I just pray, Lord God, just help us to realize that, that you're sovereign, you're in control of everything, everything that happens to us, everything that we could possibly even comprehend, God. You're in control of it, Lord God. I just thank you, God. Amen.
All right, hold up, guys. Take a seat. Take a seat. Take a seat. Take a seat. Hold on. The ice cream's going to melt away. It's not going to melt away too much. All right. That was a great message by Fucci there. You know, trusting God. I mean, it's just, you know, those Israelites going through. Can you imagine just trying to...